Good morning. So we have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We ask that you open our eyes, that we can see the wonderful thing that's written in the gospel, and open our ear that we can hear, and open our heart that we can receive it, and hide within our heart so that we won't sin against you. And we can put what we learn today into practice so that we be truly blessed. Not only in the life to come, but also right now. I pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. The title of this sermon is Do Everything in Love. And offering, as far as using the time to serve God, as far as sending co-worker to various places, as far as people helping the pastor, Paul mentioned all this more than all other pastors, including Peter. I didn't see that Peter write about that, nor do I see Apollos write about that. And Paul write a lot about that. I want you to write that down right beside chapter 16. Don't ever think, you know, oh, this is the final greeting. Just like the heading say personal request. And a collection for God's people. I want you to write that. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritually gifted, let him acknowledge that what I'm writing to you is the Lord's command. A lot of pastors hear the God command, but they not necessarily do it. But Paul did it. So I know when you come and see Jesus, the judge of righteousness, we reward him with a crown of righteousness. Even though when Peter talked about the crown of glory, he didn't say directly, I will receive it, just like what Paul said. He said to the elder, if you're faithful in serving the Lord, you will get it. Brother and sister, we all hear the commands from God. It's up to you whether you want to put it into practice. Verse 38. If the people who hear the word of the Lord and ignore, he himself will be ignored. There's no good if you come to see Jesus and you will be ignored. You ignore the word of God. Right beside ignore, you write down 15, verse 33 to 34. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupt good character. Come back to your senses as you ought. Stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God. And I say this to your shame. You write this passage in the verse 16, in the chapter 16. You know that whatever Paul's written, it is the Lord's command. It is up to you whether you want to take it or not. Verse 16, 1 to 4. I want you to write that down. Regarding money, regarding offering, the Bible talks about this subject more than any other subject. More than any other subject. Because that offering is testing our faith. You don't have to tell other people how great or how small is your faith. Through the action of your offering, you know that and God knows that. Now, about the collections for God's people. Paul is not speaking for his behalf. He is not saying, oh, I'm going to come to your church to collect money and to pay my salary. No, he's not talking about that. He's talking about the collection for God's people. I want you to write that down. Acts chapter 11, verse 27 to 30. Acts chapter 11, 27 to 30. During this time is at the church in Antioch. This is the headquarters of the Gentile church. It's a missionary church. They send Paul and Barnabas to a short-term mission. And they support this kind of pastor to preach the gospel throughout the whole world. And during this time, some prophet came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. This is Gentile church, Antioch. And one of them, named Agabus, stood up through the Spirit, predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. And this happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciple, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. And this they did, sending their gifts to the elder by Barnabas and Saul. Saul is Paul. Paul is the champion of collecting this kind of money from various Gentile church to the church that he served. He's not asking brother and sister give him money for his salary, but he asked brother and sister collect the money to give it to the poor in Jerusalem. I want you to write that down. Decide to help for the brothers living in Judea. Why helping the people living in Judea? I want you to turn to chapter 4, book of Acts. If people don't put God's word within his heart, you listen to the sermon and then you don't do it, and you're not sinning against the pastor, you're sinning against God. Acts chapter 4, in the early churches, a lot of people sell their house, sell their land, and give the money to the apostle and ask them to preach the gospel to other places. Chapter 4, verse 32, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possession was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostle continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And much grace was upon them all. There were no needy person among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them and bought the money from the sale and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, called Barnabas, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostle called him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned, and bought the money and put it at the apostle's feet. He only mentioned in detail what Barnabas has done. And Barnabas is a son of encouragement because of what he has done, encouraged other people to do it. Unfortunately, there's a couple called Ananias and Sapphira. He did it, but they did it in the wrong way. Now in man, chapter 5, Ananias, together with his wife, Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but bought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. And you know the end of the story. What I'm trying to say is, In the early churches, they see what Jesus Christ has done, die on the cross and love them, save sinners. And they know that they put their trust in Jesus and Jesus will provide for them. So they sold the property and support the ministry. And now, in Acts chapter 11, there's a prophet called Agabus. He prophesied that in Judea, in Jerusalem, and there's a great famine. When you sold all your house and all your land, you don't have a cushion for the famine. And those Gentile churches, you get the blessing from these Jewish people. You got to pay them back. Take a look at what Paul said in Romans 15. I want you to put all this regarding offering. That Bible verses, I give it to you. I want you to study that to see whether this is the right thing to do or not. Turn to Romans chapter 15. As I said before, Romans 15 was written after 1 and 2 Corinthians. But as far as the arrangement of the Bible, four gospel, Acts, and then Romans, because for the theological understanding of salvation, that's why early churches, all these leaders, they put Romans first. It's not because in chronological order. It's for you understand what it means by salvation, by grace, through faith, and from faith to faith. Take a look at what Paul say in chapter 15 of the book of Romans. Book of Romans is after 1 and 2 Corinthians. So that's why you see things that talk about the church in Corinth. 15, verse 23. But now that there's no more place for me to work in this region, and since I have been longing for many years to see you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and to help you assist me on my journey there. And after I have enjoyed your company for a while, now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there. For Macedonia, Macedonian church means the church of Philippi. Thessalonica, the church, okay? And Achaia is the church of Corinth, okay? That's why Paul writes two books, 1 and 2 Corinthians. For Macedonia and Achaia was pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. In other words, they did it already by the time when Paul writes Romans chapter 15. Verse 27, and they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. I want to circle the word. Pleased to do it is very, very good. But you have to know that. You owe it to them. Because if they don't sell their house, sell their land, and give it to the apostle, and give it to all these preachers, and so that they can go other places to preach, I don't think you will be able to hear the gospel. I don't think you'll be able to be saved. So, we have to know they were pleased to do it. They're pleased to make the offering for the poor people in Jerusalem. Indeed, they owe it to them. For if the Gentile means Galatian church, Corinthian church, Ephesus church, and Philippi church, all these churches are Gentile church. For if the Gentile have share in the Jews' spiritual blessing. The Jews receive the salvation from Jesus Christ, and they support financially all these missionary and pastor, send them away to preach the gospel. That's why we Gentile church can share in the Jewish spiritual blessing. If we share in the spiritual blessing, all these Gentile church owe it to the Jews to share with their material blessing. Pay them back. We owe it to them. Verse 28. So after I have completed this task, and I have made sure that they have received this fruit, and I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. So Paul planning to go to Spain, on his way to Spain, to go to Rome. But that's not the case, because we know that later on, after he make the offering, distribute the collection of the money from various churches and give it to people in Jerusalem, and he was in chains. He was locked up and go to Rome. He cannot go to Spain. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now about the collection for God's people. Do what I told the Gentile churches to do. In other words, when he collect the money from the church of Corinth, and Paul tell them, you are not the first church to make the offering. You just do what I told the Galatian churches to do. Galatian church is the church in the Asia Minor. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collection will have to be made. In here, we know that starting when did the Gentile church start to worship God on Sunday? It's starting here, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I want you to write that down, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, how this church was started. You write down Acts chapter 18. Paul go to the city of Corinth and went into the synagogue of Corinth and then preached about Jesus Christ. And he was kicked out. He wanted to throw the towel and not serving this region. But Jesus Christ appeared to him and tell him that a lot of my people living in the city of Corinth asked him to stay. So he stayed behind for 18 months. 18 months. 1 year and 6 months. And then in 1811. So Paul stayed for a year and a half teaching them the word of God. At first he wanted to forget about this place because they are very violent people. And at that time they don't have a church in Corinth, only have a synagogue. And when he was kicked out, so he started the church in Corinth. At the same time, same as in Ephesus. I want you to turn to 18. After Paul left the established the church in Corinth and then left the church after 18 months, and then he was 18-19, he went to Ephesus. When he went to Ephesus, there's no church either. So he went into the synagogue at Ephesus. 19. They arrived at Ephesus where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. I want to circle the word Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla and Aquila supposed to be working with Paul because Priscilla and Aquila is a tent maker, just like Paul is a tent maker. So in verse 3, 18:3, Paul stayed and worked with this couple. And every Saturday, Paul went to the synagogue, tried to persuade the Jews and Greeks to believe Jesus is the Messiah. And Paul boss, material boss, is Priscilla and Aquila, went to the same synagogue, listened to Paul preaching. After 18 months, this couple give up his business and follow Paul and to do missionary work. And then Paul wants this couple to stay in Ephesus. That's very good to stay in Ephesus. Because he stay in Ephesus and Paul move on, and this couple can help the preacher called Apollos to be a better pastor. Because Apollos know about Jesus, but he didn't know about baptism. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. A native of Alexandria is lived in Egypt, okay? So he was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scripture. He has been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. That's why he, wherever he preached about baptism of John. I want you to turn to 19, Acts 19, verse 1. While Apollos was in Corinth, the reason why Apollos be able to go to Corinth, because of the writing of Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla and Aquila used to be staying in Corinth, be a tent maker, working together with Paul. As a matter of fact, Paul is working for them. Okay? And then when Paul left Corinth to go to Ephesus, this couple sold the business, left the place, and go to Ephesus. And when Paul say, you stay in Ephesus, and then I move on, this couple listen to Paul. Brother and sister, I want you to mention that. You don't listen to the pastor, you do your own thing, you won't get blessing. They know more than what you do. You think you know, but you don't know. Okay? That's why Jesus said the first thing, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. When Paul tell this couple to stay behind, I want to read that. In 18:18, Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. For some time, that means 1.5 years. Then he left the brothers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he has his hair cut off in Centuria because of a vow he has taken. They arrived, mean Paul, Luke, and Aquila and Priscilla, Timothy and Silas. All these people arrived in Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila, left them in Ephesus. And then he himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews, the synagogue of Ephesus. In Ephesus, there's no church. He went to the synagogue, preached Jesus the Christ, and started the church, called the Church of Ephesus. And then asked this couple to stay behind in this place to help other people because they listened to Paul preaching for 1.5 years. I want you to write that down, brother and sister. In this church, we have a gap as far as teaching to the children. We have people listening to my sermon for over 10 years. They should do something about that. And I want them to hear clearly, okay? Do something about that. Learn from this couple, starting their own church at their own home, and teaching other pastors how to preach, just like this couple teaching the pastor how to preach. I go back. When this couple knows the truth. In verse 26, Apollos began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, Priscilla and Aquila, this couple, invite the pastor, Apollos, to invite him to their home, explain to him the way of God more adequately. And after that, when Apollos wants to go to Achaia means Corinth. Achaia just means Alberta. Corinth means Edmonton. It's a city. One is problem. The brother encouraged Apollos and write to the disciple in Corinth to welcome this pastor. He's a good man. He's well versed in the Bible. He knows who Jesus is. Only one thing he didn't know. He only knows baptism of John. He didn't know the baptism of Jesus Christ. But he learned it from this couple. Because he didn't know. So that's why when you go to the Ephesus, he only baptized people in the name of John the Baptist. That's why in the church of Ephesus, Paul go there, has to be baptizing them again. Okay, I give you some background so that you know. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now about the collections for God's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, that means on Sunday, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collection will have to be made. If the collection was made in a rush manner, it will not be enough money for the people in Jerusalem. Ask them to prepare in advance. I want you to write that down. Matthew chapter 25. To be the wise virgin, you have to prepare in advance. The foolish virgin, he didn't prepare extra oil in an extra jar. When Jesus Christ come, he go and buy oil. Too late, man. Whatever the good thing that you should do it ahead of time so as to be wise. Think it through. Should I offer or should I not offer? If the answer is yes, then how much should I offer? How can I offer? Nowhere in the Bible that Apostle Paul will teach people like this. He tells people every Sunday when you worship God, set aside the money first and give it to when I come. Then you know that's the money belongs to God and you give it to God. And through this process, test to see whether the Lord will bless you. Because in the book of Proverbs, if you hear the prayer of a poor man, when they cry out to you, you listen to their prayer and answer them and give it to them. Solomon said, in the future, when you are in distress, when you are in need, you cry out to God and God listens to you too. All right? So in verse 3, then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the man you approve and send them with your gifts to Jerusalem. I want you to learn. This is called accountability. When Paul saying that he collect money for the poor in Jerusalem, how do I know it's true? You send your people that is good people, that you approve, that you recommend, and I will recommend you. Let them handle the money and bring it to Jerusalem. Nowadays, a lot of people say, oh, give this money to this group. As a matter of fact, he pocket that money. You know what I mean? This is what I call accountability. If you ask people to make the offering to other group, let them see, let them deliver. That's the right way to do. If anything that is good, you better do it in the right manner so that there's no accusation. Like in our church, counting the money, especially cash, has to be two people or more so that there's no accusation in the future. You understand? Whatever the thing that is good, do it in love. Do it in accountability. Learn from it, because he's a wise man. I say, don't you trust me? I don't even trust myself. How can I trust you? You understand what I'm trying to say? Don't think so high of yourself. You think you won't make a mistake? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you will fall. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 12, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Do it in the biblical way. Don't say to me, trust me, okay? Because we don't want any accusation when you're handling the money. Do it in the right way. Everybody say? And Paul said in verse 4, if it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me. Paul didn't say, if I go, then you don't have to go. No, there's a lot of money there. I want them to see this money truly arrive in that place as planned. Do you know where did Paul learn this? Do you know? Take a look at the book of Ezra. He learned it from Ezra. Chapter 1. Verse 8. Cyrus, king of Persia, has them brought by the Mithra death and the treasurer who count them out to Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. This was the inventory as people counted. These are the inventory. Count it clearly. How many pieces? 5,400 pieces of article of gold and silver, and then bring it to Jerusalem. When they arrive in Jerusalem, they count them. Is it 5,400 pieces? All right. Go to, I tell you one thing. You know, I heard there's one church. The pastor asked people to make offering, and then he pocket the money. He has so much money. He even built a dog house with air conditioning. This is a joke. Why do you need an air conditioner for a dog? When a dog is hot, you know, he stick his tongue out and shed the hair. You don't need that, okay? We are not as smart as dogs. We don't shed our hair until we are old. Dogs shed their hair when you don't need a haircut for them, okay? If the pastor take the money, make sure all the other brothers and sisters count it and count it well, and let them take it. Okay, that's how we collect the money. And he did it in love. How do I know it? You write beside 16, 1 to 4. You write down three things. If anyone, verse 2, 16, 22 to 24. If anyone does not love the Lord, a curse be on him. Come, O Lord. Number one. Number two, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. When Paul said that the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you, you write that down, that's later. If a pastor himself do not receive the grace of the Lord, he won't tell you the grace of the Lord be with you. You write down, come first. You write down 15:9-10. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. If you do not experience the grace of God that is with you, you cannot say to other people, the grace of God be with you. If you can make offering to the poor, it is because the grace of God was with you. Because he can say it boldly, because the grace of God is with him. If you yourself do not experience the blessing, how can you tell other people? You will experience the blessing. Come on, give me a break. Number three. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus. Amen. I tell you to make offering because I love you. I don't want you to see Jesus Christ with an empty hand and then you get cursed. I have never heard any pastor talk about offering in this manner. You understand? Tell you the consequences if you don't do it. And then I want you to add that in verse 13. 16:13. Be on your guard. Stand firm in your faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. Paul himself, do everything in love. He write everything in love. He command brother and sister to do it in love. And he expect the brother and sister to do everything in love. I want you to circle that word. Write 14. You write down 24 first. And then I want you to write that down. 11:1. Follow my example because I follow the example of Jesus Christ. If you yourself do not do it in love, you can't tell other people to do it in love. You don't get the blessing from God with the grace of God with you. How can you tell me the grace of God will be with you too if you do the same? Okay, that's good enough. I talk about second portion of scripture, 15:9, how he used his talent, how he used his time management regarding himself. Verse 5, after I go through Macedonia, I will come to you in Corinth, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you a while, or even spend the winter, so that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. Verse 7, I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you. And then he comma, if the Lord permits. If the Lord permits. Because he write that, people don't understand the scripture and thinking that, oh, all your planning is your own will, it's not the Lord's will. No. If the Lord will, right beside the Lord will, he say that because he humbled himself, he walked with Jesus Christ, he didn't want to go ahead of Jesus Christ. He said to Jesus Christ, my plan is flexible if you allow me to do so. Brother and sister, I want you to learn one thing. Right beside, if the Lord permits, you write down 4:19, 1 Corinthians. He mentioned that. But I come, 4:19, but I will come to you very soon. I will come to you very soon if the Lord is willing. If the Lord is willing. 4:19, I will come to you is the same saying in verse 16, chapter 16, verse 5 to 9. His teaching is consistent. He planning to come to you if the Lord's willing, if the Lord permits. Later on, James, when he write the book of James, he teach other people from the teaching of Paul. Say to the proud man, especially those people who do business, they don't know what they are talking about. Chapter 4, verse 13. Now, first, the book of James. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Sounds like Paul is doing that too. I plan to go to Spain, I pass through Rome, and I stay in there. Right? I just read it to you in Book of Romans, right? Chapter 1 and chapter 15, right? And then 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, I plan to come to see you soon, if the Lord is willing. Some pastors, they can hear directly from God. Some pastors, they have to hear from Paul. You understand? And this pastor James learned that. Learned it from Paul. That's why he say 4:14. Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appear for a little while and then vanish. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will do, we will live, and we will do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag, all such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and does not do, sin. When you read the scripture, you only know a little bit thing, and then you critique Paul, you are in deep trouble. I want you to write that down. Right beside 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 5 to 9. Next week, if the Lord's willing, I talk about 2 Corinthians, people criticize him. The people who criticize pastor is the one who doesn't know what the heck he's talking about. And then Paul has to explain. I'm not going to talk about it now. You just be patient if the Lord's willing, and I'm going to talk about that. When you say, I plan to do this, I plan to do that, if the Lord's willing. He's doing what God wants him to do. He say what God wants him to say, brother and sister. You don't understand the scripture, you just keep your mouth shut, lest that you be judged. I want you to write that down right beside 5 to 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 5 to 9. You write down Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 to 37. Jesus said, but I tell you that man will have to give account on the day of judgment. for every careless word they have spoken. For by your word you will be acquitted, and by your word you will be condemned. Don't be so quick to make any judgment. Be careful of what you say. And don't say things just based on your mere understanding. Study the scripture. Let's hear what God say about that. Verse 7. I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permit. But I will stay now. I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost. Why? Because the great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. When a pastor have an effective ministry, you better make sure you will see there's a lot of opposing power. Satan will not allow him to do it. And that's normal. Okay? Just like he talked about in the book of Romans, chapter 16, the last chapter, verse 20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet, and the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Because he experienced a lot of satanic attack that hindered his ministry. But he knows that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. That's the end of the book of Romans. Take a look at the beginning of Romans. He planned numerous times want to see the people in Rome, but he cannot. He was hindered. Verse 11, 1, 11, 13. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brother, that I planned many times to come to you, but has been prevented from doing so until now. Prevented by who? It's by faith. In order that I may have a harvest among you, just as I have had among other Gentiles. When you see a lot of satanic attacks, you say, oh, that pastor must be wrong. When you see him go into the prison, oh, that pastor must be wrong. You don't say that. You don't say that because you don't know God's planning. He was sent to prison so that he can quiet himself, write the book of Ephesus, write the book of Colossians. Because God used him in the prison and help a lot of people. Better than Peter to go from church to church, only write 8 chapters. 2 books, 5 chapters and 3 chapters. Don't make this comment. If we don't have Paul, we are in deep trouble. I'm glad God gave the best apostle to the Gentile church and tell us what we should do. We are truly blessed. He gave us a very good and faithful servant of the Lord. And he say things doesn't please you. He say things that pleases God. Have you ever heard pastor say to you, you don't love the Lord, curse be to you? That's the truth. Paul tell you in love. You better do it. You know, I found out that a lot of people, they just give birth to their children, and don't even teach the children. I want to write down the name. I don't know his last name. I don't even remember his last name. His first name is called Mark. His middle name called Anthony. He comes from Austin, Texas. At the age of 23, he bombed other people because he faced challenge in his life. Of course, I know he faced challenge in his life. He's only 23 years old. If he studied university for 4 years, he may be only working for 1 year. If he didn't go to university, he's unemployed for 5 years. We as parents don't just give food on the table for your children. Just like Ephesians chapter 6, we have to feed them with God's word, train them in righteousness, teach them God's word. You know that guy put shame to his family. You plan to give birth to this child, that birth to that child. You're not spending with the child and teaching them God's word. You better not give him any more new birth. Okay? Everybody say? This guy is a disaster to the society. People die in vain. God called us to save people's lives. God did not call us to kill people. Gospel of 10:10:10, Satan come is to steal, kill, and destroy. He did the work of Satan. Jesus Christ come is to give life and to give eternal life, abundant life. You give birth to a child, your child doesn't know God's word, shame on you. Paul is a good man. When he say, if anyone doesn't love the Lord, curse be to him. I've never heard any pastor saying that. This is God's word. If anyone does not love the Lord, a curse be on him. Come, O Lord. Take a look at Galatians. Chapter 1, verse 8. Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned, let him be cursed. And if we have, as we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. He mentioned it twice. People don't listen. Am I now trying to win the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to write that down right beside curse and condemn. You write down Matthew chapter 23. Jesus Christ mentions 8 times. Chapter 5, he mentioned 8 blessings. Matthew chapter 23, he mentioned 8 cursing. People don't read the Bible and criticize Paul. He did it everything in love. He wanted you to get blessed. That Mark Antony refused to listen to his parents. If he were young and not playing computer games, not killing this and killing that, he could have been a graduate with a degree. He looked very handsome. But he's wicked inside. That's no good. That's really sad. People just do the parcel thing, give birth, and thinking that, well, I did my job already, and keep producing. You don't produce like that. I say one more time. If you cannot find a spouse that are Christian, that are godly, it's okay. It's okay to be single. You marry a man like that, you are in deep trouble.
Listen to God's word and pay attention to it so that you get blessed.
I stop here.
Stop in verse 9.
Our Heavenly Father, help us to understand not to criticize what is written in the scripture. No one loved us more than Jesus Christ loved us. No pastor loved us more than Paul loved his congregation. And yet he sees this to warn his people. Nowadays in America, parents, they don't teach the children, they don't even discipline the children. He who spare his son, hate his children. Because they have no guidance. They like to do their own thing. And then he show off in the cell phone, recording 30 minutes of why he's doing what he's doing. He's a foolish man. Same as his parents. Have mercy on us. When we learn it, compare what he did with the Bible saying, so that we shun evil. And we love you, O Lord. We give you thanks for teaching us with your word, your living word, your precious word. I pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen.